Christ, according to St. Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. And a man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was, but on the account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he, Jesus, was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up to him and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. And all who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." And today I want to spend just about 10, which means it'll probably dribble over to 15 minutes, in this passage of Scripture. It is such a neat passage of Scripture. And so you have Jesus and his guys, the gang, you have the inner circle of 12, and then you have those who are following Jesus at this time in Jesus' ministry. He has dozens, even at times hundreds of people that are following him, listening in on his teaching. And so he's going through Jericho, and he's out in the outland areas, and he's going through there. There's this guy named Zacchaeus, and the Bible says that he was, not only was he a tax collector, but he was the chief of the tax collectors. So keep in mind what Rome would do when it would come in and subjugate an area. They had understood. They had learned some lessons. They had learned, number one, if you try to take away a region's religion, that will get them to rebel quicker than anything else. And so we'll go ahead and let them have whatever their religion is as long as it doesn't interfere with Rome. Number two, their society, how they, you know, make money and all of these things. We just leave things alone. Let them have their way. And that will keep the peace. And then what they would do is they would appoint people who would be responsible for collecting the tax. And so you would have, Rome is really smart about this. They would go ahead and take a census and find out how many families they had there, how many businesses was in an area, and they would determine, we must get this much money out of this area. And so they would go and hire people who would be tax collectors. And these tax collectors were responsible for collecting that much money from the local citizenry. All right. And then anything else that they collected was what they would live on. And so it wouldn't be uncommon for a tax collector to say, "Okay, Rome wants me to get $1,000 every year out of this group of people. And so, hey guys, I need $2,000. $1,000 for Rome and $1,000 for me." It wouldn't be that nice, however. It would be much, much worse than that. And then the ones who could be really depended upon to get the money out, they would be the chief tax collectors. and the other tax collectors would answer to them. In addition to that, Jericho was a port area. There was a lot of commerce that went through there, and so it wouldn't be uncommon for in a high commerce area where you have caravans coming through, got to get a little money from them. You have ships coming through and unloading or whatever, got to get a little money from them. And so these people would set up their booths, and they would go out, and as the traders would come through, they would exact whatever tax that Rome had from them. That's why it talks about when Jesus went and found Matthew, the tax collector, he was in his booth. Because in that area where he lived, that was an area where there was a lot of shipping trade. The ships would come and go in Capernaum and that, and so there was a lot of taxes to be collected, and we found out that that Matthew was somebody who could be depended on to collect up those taxes. So, long story short, the tax collectors were not the favorite people of the local citizenry, because these people were going to get Rome's money, which they didn't believe that Rome deserved, but it was either that or be utterly destroyed and everybody hung on a cross and crucified. But then in addition to taking these taxes, they would oftentimes exact more than was required of them, and way beyond what is required of them, and there wasn't anything they could do about it, because the tax collectors, the publicans, as they were called, publicans, public, out in the, like, we use the term pub today for a public house, and that would be a house that was open to the public for a meal, a place to sleep, a bottle of beer, or whatever the case may be. That's why in England they called them pubs, because they were public houses. Well, the publicans, it was the same thing. They were out there getting the money from the public and giving it back to Rome. And so it was interesting that that Jesus chose as one of his inner circle someone who was a publican, a tax collector. And also, little known fact, Matthew was also somewhat autistic, and so he didn't meld well with crowds anyhow, and so it would be easy for him to just be, this is it, this is what you owe, and no, I don't want to sit here and hear your complaints about whatever, because those who are familiar with autism realize that those with it have a tendency to not do well in social settings. Okay, so Matthew did a good job, and it was obvious that Zacchaeus was doing a good job because he was a chief tax collector, all right? And so Jesus is coming by, and of course, wherever Jesus met, because this is about halfway through, we're in Luke chapter 19, so this is about halfway through, a little better than halfway through Jesus' public ministry, and so word has already spread about the thousands of people that have been fed. Word has already spread about the hundreds, if not thousands, of people that have been delivered from demons and those who have been healed of whatever physical maladies that they had. And so when Jesus rolled into town, there would be a great crowd of people that would be there just to see. Not only do you have some people there that are wanting something from Jesus, but there are people that are just saying, hey, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Jesus is in town. Let's go see if we can get a glimpse of the Master. And so Jesus is going by, and he just happens to see this short little guy named Zacchaeus. Because Zacchaeus, he wanted to get to the head of the crowd, get up to where the street was, so he could see Jesus come by. But you think that he had much favor with the crowd? No, they, you know, would use any opportunity to push him back into the shadows. But Zacchaeus, sure enough, he was determined. He's here to see Jesus. And he's not going to let these mean people keep him from seeing Jesus. So he climbs up in a sycamore tree. Now, it's one thing that I've noticed about people that are of a higher social economic level than most of us might be, is that they have a tendency to, there are things that we do and things that we don't do, and climbing trees is not something that people of wealth and social stature would normally do, all right? But that didn't stop Zacchaeus. That's the only way he's going to get a glimpse of Jesus. But you know, the neat thing is not only did he work hard to find himself a location where he could get a glimpse of Jesus, that was also a place where Jesus could get a glimpse of him. Amen? Now, I don't know if anybody whispered in Jesus' ear, oh, that's Zacchaeus, you want to stay away from him. He's the chief of all of the tax collectors here. He's bad news or whatever. But I like what the Bible says here. It says in verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. It just wasn't the choice of Jesus to go and visit Zacchaeus at his house. Jesus said, I must be with you at your house. They get out of that tree. We've got someplace we have to go. This is Jesus not just accommodating the crowds and the individuals. Jesus had something he had to do. Amen? You know, when you really want to do something, you won't let anything stand in your way. You know, I might tell my son, hey, why don't you come over to my house, make it about, 6:30 Saturday morning, and we've got a project that we're going to get started on, and I can almost guarantee you that 6:30 Saturday morning is going to roll around, and he is not going to be anywhere to be found. All right? There will be something, oh, this happened or that happened, somebody was sick, whatever. But if I tell him, be at my house at 4:30, we're going to go down and go fishing in the bay, that boy will be there an hour early. Okay? You know, when you must do something, you don't let any excuse stand in your way. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. I must be with you at your house today. And according to what I'm reading here, Jesus doesn't even wait, or I should say Zacchaeus doesn't even wait until they get home. Because it said, he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. And then, of course, you always have the religious people, and all who saw it began to grumble and said, he's gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. Alright? And that's why I keep telling you folks, beware of religious people. Religious people have a religion about God. We have a relationship with God. Alright, that's what makes us different. We don't have a religion. We have a relationship with God. Amen? And if you just have a religion, that religion is going to be made up of things you must do and things you must not do. It's going to be a list of do's and don'ts. When Terry and I agreed to be the ministers, youth ministers and ministers to the hearing impaired at a little church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We went over there and talked to the pastor, and he gave us this list. It was quite the list of things you must do and things you must not ever do. if you're just going to be a member of this congregation. And one of the things right at the top was no mixed bathing. And I said, that's okay, I take a bath all by myself. I don't have any problem with that. And, no, that's their particular denomination speak for you can't go swimming with people of the opposite sex, all right? But that's okay because just below that, if you do go swimming, then the girls have to wear white t-shirts over their bathing suits. Like nobody's ever heard of a wet t-shirt contest. I mean, this list of things, pardon me? Yeah, they were. You talk about counterproductive. And so that's what religion is, boys and girls. It's what you must and must not do, and it has absolutely nothing to do with your relationship with God. Amen? Amen. And so everybody that's hacked off at Jesus here is angry because he has chosen to be with one who wasn't religious. This guy, I mean, either you're religious or you're a sinner. And obviously, Zacchaeus is the chief of all the sinners. But I want you to see there, verse 8 says, Zacchaeus stood there. Alright? He got down off of that tree. People are murmuring all around him. Okay? Everybody do this. Go, murmur, 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 murmur. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Everybody, that, nothing, you know, good is being said, just murmur, 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 murmur. And everybody's murmuring around him, and here's Zacchaeus, and he makes this statement to the Lord. And he said, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And that is just a statement of faith that this man is going to do. He says, you know how rich I am, you know my reputation. Right now, I make the commitment before you that I'm going to go home and I'm going to give half of everything I have to the poor. You know what that tells me? Zacchaeus has had a change in his focus. Instead of focusing on the things of this world, the things of this earth, and accumulating things and acquiring things and walking around in new things and driving around it, whatever. Instead of all of that, he says, I'm going to take half of it. I'm just going to flat give it away. It's going to the poor. It's going to be, and that right there, it's not that he's winning his faith by his works, but it's showing you what his faith did to him once he got it. He realized, hey, I'm just X amount of years on this earth, and then I'm off to glory or off to eternity, wherever that eternity may take me. He made a choice. And he said, this is it, Lord. I know I've been living like the world and all of that, but you have come into my life. And just the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in this man's life, and he's a changed man. I'm going to give half of everything. And then he goes on to say, because this is what the tax collectors were infamous for, and that was if you defraud people. And they would. Now, it was legal, and I don't know what the percentage is, but Rome made it legal for them to take a certain percentage over that which Rome wanted in taxes. And so there was a legal amount that they could get. But when you've got a band of Roman soldiers backing you up, who's going to argue the finer points of the law? If that tax collector says, I'm going to take this and another, 500%, what are you going to do? There's not much that you can do. And I have no doubt that Zacchaeus was guilty of that, because you're not going to be put in these positions of great responsibility by Rome unless you have been performing. Now, I believe that Zacchaeus was a performer. He did his job well. And so he said, and if I've defrauded anyone, I'm going to pay them back four times. four times. I'm just not going to pay him back. Yeah, brother so-and-so, back over here, I took $100 from him that I shouldn't have taken. I'll give him his $100 back. That's not what Zacchaeus is saying. He said, I'm going to give him $400 back. You know what that says to me about a Jew? That boy has found Jesus. Amen? Okay, I mean, just to turn away from a certain price might be one thing, but to give four times more than you have to, man, that is a changed heart. That is a changed heart. And there was something special about that, because you see, now that Zacchaeus had all the skeletons out of his closet, he didn't have to worry about what people would say to him, because he's already at this point where he is paying back everyone he's ever defrauded any money out of four times. But he, although it cost him four times as much, he walked away with a clear conscience with God. There's something that money can't buy. Amen? A clear conscience with God. To know I did wrong, but I've not only, paid back, but I've made restitution. I've paid the penalty. And so if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. And then I want you to see what Jesus said. He said here in verse 9, then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. And we know that Abraham is the father of all those who walk in faith. And I tell you what, for someone who has gained great wealth, and great position within his society. Now, the nice people may not like him, but all of the other publicans and the other people that he would run with, they liked him, alright? Threw good parties, had good wine, all that good stuff. But here he is saying, I'm not going to do that anymore. Jesus said, this man has changed his life. He has chosen to not only set aside the things of this world, but to divest himself of these things that the Bible says that we should shun those things that so easily beset us, that sin that is so there nipping at our heels. And Zacchaeus knew that this money, this love of riches, was nipping at his heels, and he's met the Savior. He doesn't have time for these things. And so he's given them all away. And Jesus makes this proclamation, for the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. All of these murmurers, all of these religious people that were criticizing Jesus because Jesus chose to spend a few moments talking with this publican, talking with this sinner, they didn't think they needed salvation. Okay? And so, Jesus didn't come for them. It says, Jesus came to seek out and to save the lost. And Zacchaeus recognized that he was lost. And yet he was standing face to face with the Son of God. The one who could forgive him all of his sins. The one who could welcome him into eternal paradise. Amen? And he made the right choice. How many other people there that day saw Jesus, had the same opportunity to see Jesus, but they went back to their homes unforgiven of their sins because they were too quick to be pointing out that, oh, this Jesus, he's hanging out with sinners. Oh, this Jesus, he's doing that. Being critical, being religious. Amen. You know, people will ask me from time to time, what religion are you? I tell them, I'm sorry, I don't have a religion. I just have a relationship with the Son of God. Amen. And that's all that matters. And then whatever, just like Zacchaeus understood, this wealth, it's in my hands. And I can do with this what I want to do. And to show Jesus that I have a changed heart, that I now have changed priorities, I'm going to go ahead and give some of this stuff away. It doesn't say here that Zacchaeus gave it all away. I'm sure Zacchaeus continued to live a prosperous life, probably took a little bit less money from the people that he was responsible to collect the taxes from, probably just took what the law required him to take. Amen. I'm not saying that he walked away from his job. History doesn't tell us what happened about Zacchaeus. All I do know is that when he had the chance to come face to face with the Savior, he became a changed man. And it wasn't because of religion. It was because of a new relationship with Christ. Amen? Amen. So, I like the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus come down from that sycamore tree. I don't even know if they have sycamore trees in the Holy Land. They might, I don't know. But I thank God that just walking down the street, God sees this Yahoo in a tree. I mean, how do you explain it? I mean, self-respecting people don't climb trees. That's what kids do. They climb trees. And here's this full-grown adult hanging in a tree simply because he wanted to get a better glimpse of Jesus. Amen. Would we climb a tree to get a better glimpse of Jesus? Amen. I would like to think that each one of us would. We might need a leg up, get a start on it. We may not be as nimble in climbing trees as Zacchaeus was, but I would like to think that when the chance comes to see Jesus, that we'd all want. We wouldn't be satisfied with second best, but we'd want to get that look at Jesus. Father, thank you for your love.